Okay. Hello and welcome to Q&A Quest, episode 434. I'm your host, Mike Epps, aka Wheels, and with me as always.
An event still possible, David Vibrani, Fanboy Master.
And this is Smokin' Joe Gamer. You can just call me Joe, that's fine.
Hello, Joe.
And Gaijin might be along later. We shall see.
We shall hope.
Is there any news the past week in gaming?
We got some bad news this morning today, but...
I think if there's anything else... I got nothing. Someone else talk.
There hasn't been a ton. There was kind of a neat update that just dropped for the Switch 2, which is kind of at least mild interest.
Yeah, that seems pretty cool.
Yeah, so are you running this on both RP Gamer and Ask Wheels, or
yes,
just
both,
one?
Yes, both.
Okay, just making sure about where to keep tabs on. But yeah, like, for the record, as of today, Nintendo just like quietly dropped a Switch 2 firmware update that allows you to, on the Switch 2, force Switch 1 games to run in their docked mode setup. Which is interesting. Like, I've seen people request that feature. I did not think they would ever actually make it. But docked games often, like, some of the benefits were obviously already apparent. Like, you know, docked games generally would run a little better. But like, the big difference was generally that Switch 1 games did not would a docked Switch 1 game could run at a resolution of up to 1080p and had more like CPU and GPU grit to do it. So letting the Switch 2 run those means that those games can run at a resolution that's closer to the native resolution of the Switch 2 screen, which is why a lot of people really wanted that to happen. So
yes, sounds cool.
Hey, I didn't expect them to do it, and you have to turn it on manually because I think that they are concerned that there will be games that it breaks. But
it's a neat thing to add.
Yeah, no, it's a nice thing to just sort of see, like, because again, they did not even imply that they weren't going to attempt doing this. It just happened. But yeah, no thought. So that's kind of neat, and that's much less deranged than the other thing that made the news today.
Okay.
So, NVIDIA showed off DLSS 5. Running on two linked 5090s for some ungodly reason.
I thought they got rid of SLI years ago. Huh. Wait, they don't expect us to buy two of those damn things, do they?
I don't think there's a single human being that this seems targeted at. But also, the answer is that it looks like shit anyway. It doesn't matter. It looks like dog shit anyway. Because it's like, the thing that we were trying to show off, near as I can tell, was that it would... that it would allow, like, because, so the first thing that DLSS kind of did was that it allowed, like, here's some samples of what the game would look like at full res, reconstruct a full res version of the game based on, like, you know, ML principles. Like, that's something machine learning is at least decent at. then they were like, well, now what if it generated entire frames? And that tends to look uncanny and shitty, like motion smoothing on your TV. I don't personally want that. It at least, I can imagine the audience for whom it is for. And now they're like, well, what if it generated entire light sources?
No, no, stop. Make it stop.
And now they're starting also to make things look ugly. It's like, no, stop.
Yeah, it has the uncanny look of someone having slapped, like, a fucking quote-unquote AI filter on shit. Like, it's clearly fucking with not just the not just, like, by generating light sources, and it's like whatever they were showing in that demo looks like shit, because it just makes it so that, like, everything is lit to hell from, like, it's just inserting new light sources.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you could, like, maybe, like, if you're being more charitable than I think this necessarily deserves, you could hold that maybe they were trying to show the maximum thing that it can do, like, but when you do that for everything, the thing you produce is, oh god, everything is lit to hell for no reason. But even if it wasn't, even if you ignore that, like, the other things they showed were like, here's a Starfield character, or here's Grace from Resident Evil 9, and you look at it and it's like, well, why did they look wrong? And the answer is that it's also, like, fucking with the models themselves on some level.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too aggressive. Whatever it's doing, like, it's way too aggressive at it. So it ends up doing just a ton of this shit for some reason. And, you know, it looks like what happens when someone's like, there's several jokes that have gone around. The AI filter, the Nintendo hire this man, and both of them are, and both are accurate. like, it looks bad, and it was one of the things that I joked about to a friend was, wow, it sure is lucky that Nintendo locked in, like, hardware DLSS for, like, DLSS 2 or 3 instead of this.
Yeah. Because this... right. This, so that's what I want to say, because I'm, you know, I'm playing RE9 right now as we speak. I've got DLSS turned on, and, like, right now what it does is it upscales the resolution so that it looks almost as good as native 4K without the huge hit to frame rate. You know, but as you said, though, like,
clear, thoughtful use case for that.
Yeah. So boosting your frame rate, upscaling the resolution, but without changing how everything looks. So I looked at that and I'm like, what are they doing? It looks like the AI is just generating an entirely new game with that as the source. You know, I'm like, that's not what I want at all. I just want higher frame rate. That's it. And
it just wanted to look like it would look as closely as possible while gaining the benefits of a higher frame rate.
Did they say that this is like an option of it, or is this intended functionality?
There's all sorts of tweaking that I'm sure that they'll be doing. But, like, broadly, I think my argument would be, I think that the idea of having it try to interpolate light sources is just a fundamentally flawed one.
Yeah.
And ray tracing is already doing that, and the whole point of DLSS is to get you better performance while using ray tracing, correct? So,
it seems, like, kind not of necessarily just while you're using ray tracing. Why are you going in a goddamn circle, Will? Sorry.
You're watching. I'm not watching the stream, sorry.
Yeah, I was watching, for those curious, I was watching Wheel stream Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope, and he went in a circle like three times trying to follow some footprints. It was one of the most brain-dead things I've ever seen an adult man engage in.
Yeah. So the other thing is frame generation. So in Resident Evil 9, it says, improve frame rate by generating interpolated frames. So the AI inserts additional frames in between what's already there to kind of artificially boost your frame rate, you know. But when you turn that on, at least in this game, it turns off VSync, and I'm seeing screen tearing. And, like, no, you didn't fix the problem. You fixed an imaginary problem.
It worse. Because
it's
It's fine. So with DLSS set to quality at 1440p, yeah, I can do whatever I want, and I get very good frame rate, and it's fine. It's like, you know, but I'm not spending $3,000 just to be able to bump that up to 4K and turn off DLSS. No. So, I mean, I'm very happy with the RTX 4070. It's good enough. And it was already $600 when it came out. So, like, so this idea we've got two 5090s running together. It's like, that's like $6,000. What the fuck are you talking about?
If you do have two 5090s, it is my right as a human being to rob you.
If you have two of something, you should share one.
Yeah, this is like the you know, if you take this at the most charitable way you could, this is a farcically ill-conceived demo situation. Like, this is showcasing an aspect of the technology that is of interest to basically no one except someone fascinated by, like, ML tech, and is of and is demoing on something on a setup that no human being has.
Right.
Is there any gaming news that doesn't suck ass?
I mean, we started with that. Like, the Switch 2 boost mode is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that was good news. I read about that thing with Krafton trying to screw somebody out of
That was extremely funny, that own.
Yeah.
So Krafton, God, are they the ones who run PlayerUnknown's at this point?
Yes.
Yeah, so Krafton tried to, like, a year and a half or something ago, they tried to fire the CEO of the developer of Subnautica 2 in an attempt to avoid having to pay out the company, and a crazy number of bonus. They were on track to get a $250 million bonus. To have to fulfill a $250 million contract. The CEO of Krafton asked ChatGPT if there was a way to void that contract.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yes.
Did he get accurate information?
The answer
obviously
is no,
not.
Because the judge was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
So let's go over this. So Krafton purchased Unknown Worlds for $500 million, and they were like, if Subnautica 2 like hit its deadlines and sold well enough, they would have to pay out an additional $250 million. You know what? You know, you got your money, you got your thing. So, where do we even start in this? the CEO of Krafton allegedly used ChatGPT to brainstorm ways to avoid pay. And that he had also talked about a takeover plan that was probably not within their contract either. But yeah, so that's the judge in this case wrote a pretty scathing response. Krafton's true focus in June 2025 was to avoid paying its financial exposure. It knew Subnautica 2 was poised to achieve a $250 earnout, which Kim viewed as a catastrophic failure. Krafton undertook Project X to either force a deal on the earnout or execute a takeover of the studio. Terminating founders was one tactic explored and ultimately chosen by Krafton to accomplish its goal. So, yeah, like, just an extremely strange story, and Part of the way they did that was they delayed the game by claiming that it wasn't ready for release, and then blamed that fact on the CEO and unlawfully terminated him in an attempt to if it doesn't reach its deadlines, then it won't if it doesn't reach its deadlines, then we don't have to pay, basically.
So, which is pretty easy when you forcefully delay it, so it doesn't make its deadline.
Yeah, when you delay it, I suppose that does count as not meeting its deadlines, except to anyone observing. This is a very funny instance of the ChatGPT angle just makes it funnier. We see this kind of thing happen every so often. There's these unlawful terminations. Like, kind of a similar thing ended up happening with Activision and Infinity Ward way back in the day, Respawn was formed. Like, this is basically the same thing that Activision Blizzard was doing in that case, where it's just minus the comedic element of asking ChatGPT how to do it.
Ugh.
But yeah, so that was stupid. It's satisfying only in the sense that they got fucking told, no, you legally cannot fire this man. But yeah. Otherwise, it's been kind of a slow news week. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
Call it a victory. We want to do a quick and easy. What we've been playing, keep it relatively short, but get it going.
Sure.
I'm just playing the same stuff as last week, to be honest. So, making more progress in Pokemon Pokapia, just setting up habitats to get more Pokemon to spawn in, and they have different skills that I'm learning about, and then you can build nice houses for them, full of furniture if you want to. And some of them have a trade skill, so if you put down a cash register, they will put up goods for trade, and that's kind of neat. I've got three villages now in three different regions, and I can smelt ore into metal bars and just do all kinds of fun things, and there's just an endless number of just quests you can do to get rewards to buy more stuff, and it's a very satisfying gameplay loop, I think. It's a relaxing crafting building game. It has sold over 2 million units already. It's a Switch 2 exclusive and seems to be a good system seller from what I can ascertain. So yeah. Mm. I think it's great. No,
I think that one's going to be just a big long tail seller throughout the Switch 2's lifetime. It's one of those things that it doesn't need an existing hype cycle to sell children on Pokemon Minecraft. But yeah, I know that that my nieces have been playing it. I need to pick it up, but there's a lot coming out right now, surprisingly.
Yeah. And unfortunately for physical collectors, it is a game key card.
Yeah, a bit of a shame.
So I bought a digital.
How many updates I'm getting?
They may put out an updated one of those in the future. They already do that for Pokemon games. They'll put out a updated cart with the expansion, so you never know.
Yeah, actually, the other thing they just announced they're going to do a code in a box for the Legend ZA expansion. I'm like, all right, that's fine, because some people don't have accounts set up and they go to the store and buy the codes, so that's fine.
It's a way to gift the DLC, basically.
Yeah, because that's what I thought. Because I even felt bad, because one of the games that my niece wanted was a Game Key cart, and I had to explain to her what it was. And I kind of felt bad because, I give her this gift, she puts it in the console, and it has to download, and she's got to wait for it, and it's like, whoops. And then, so I explained to her what it was, and she's almost 12 now, so she gets it. I'm like, well, yeah, so you put the cart in, and then it has to download the game from the end. She's like, okay. And then I don't need the cart, right? I said, well, no, you do. You have to keep it in there. Oh, well, that's stupid. You're right. But this is the game you wanted, and this is how I could gift it to you.
It exists for very strange incentives.
Yeah.
So, it's fine.
It's a digital game you can sell.
Yeah, it's a digital game you can sell, which was a very important thing to exist for the Japanese used market. But, yeah. But yeah, we are seeing more and more of like the smaller scale games actually seem to be opting for carts, which is nice. It's nice to see Trails second chapter switch to appears to be a game on cart.
Yep. It's actually it's a Switch 2 edition, which means it's the Switch 1 and Switch 2 versions on there, so either if you're have only a Switch 1 and may upgrade later, you should get that one, or if you still play on both systems like me, it's very handy.
Yeah, no. Plus, I just like, this is literally the first time in English you will have been able to purchase a physical copy.
That's true.
Of Trails in the Sky second chapter.
Just crazy to think about.
Yeah, because like that was a fucking late as hell.
Oh, that reminds me. I wanted to complain about Trails in the Sky second chapter.
What? Why?
It's good. It's very good, but just chapter 7 is like a roller coaster ride of dungeons and bosses and like plot going like at jet speed. And then I just felt like it ground to a screeching halt after that.
It needed some time to let you down from the extreme,
I guess.
Roller coaster. Yeah. Let's see. What else is there? But yeah, so that's fun.
So the other game, of course, is Resident Evil Revelations. I had beaten the game and started a new game
on
Requiem. What did I say?
Said Revelation.
Oh, shit.
Might be possible.
Playing on your 3DS system.
Yeah. Okay, so Resident Evil Requiem. I beat it on standard modern and wanted to start a new game to see what carried over and how all that worked. And said, oh, well, hey, I might as well do standard classic because then you get more points and then I can just focus on trying to get more files and raccoon statues and all that. And, of course, while playing as Grace, I didn't save and then died in a very stupid way and lost like half an hour progress. So then I decided to start another game on casual, and I'm currently in the middle of a playthrough where I'm not healing and I'm not picking up any blood or really doing any... Well, I'm doing what crafting I can because two pieces of scrap can still get you a knife. But yeah, so without collecting any blood, it's like, gee, you can't have Molotov cocktails. You can't have those special syringes that can get you a one-hit kill. It's like, all right, so this is a little tricky, but because it's casual, I mean, you have very aggressive aim assists. Enemies don't have much health. I have the charm that boosts knife damage, so I can just keep making knives and keep stabbing zombies. And Leon sections are a piece of cake so far because you can buy stuff like the rifle, the SMG, the shotgun right from the beginning. What it does is all the stuff that you unlock in Raccoon City, it puts it throughout the entire game. So right from Leon's first chapter, there's a storage box where you can buy and upgrade stuff, and you're collecting points every time you kill an enemy. So it's actually pretty fun. It's easy, but again, it's what I had to do if I want to get those achievements, which means I ultimately want to get like infinite ammo and all that cool shit. So that's what you got to do. You get 20,000 points if you can beat the game in under 4 hours. You get 35,000 if you beat it without using herbs or med injectors, 35,000 if you don't use the blood collector at all. So and in order to get infinite ammo, how much do you need? Like 60 or 50,000, something like that. Yeah, you need 50,000 points to get infinite ammo for all your guns. Of course, then a weird thing they did, though, is it's 15,000 to buy an RPG for Leon. You know, rocket-propelled grenade.
Which RPG?
And then you need another 35,000 to get infinite ammo on that specific weapon. So you would need 50,000 will either get you infinite ammo on every other gun, or you can get the RPG 7 plus infinite ammo for that. Interesting. Also, infinite durability on hatchets for Leon. It's like, well, I don't know, because he can sharpen it, so I don't know how useful that is.
It is very dubiously useful. It's something that I will probably end up getting because I am running out of things to buy.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. So, yeah. So, those are the two main games, and still playing East 10 Proud Nordics on PS5. That's been fun. And I decided to get back into Final Fantasy 14, so I'm still doing all the content between Stormblood and Shadowbringers. So I haven't played since August, but they were doing a sale on the newest expansion, which includes all previous expansions. So I'm now up to date on both the PS5 and PC, so I can play any class or any job class on both platforms. I can switch between them, and that's good. So and my computer can now run that game on the highest settings at 4K with no issues, which is nice too. It did get a graphical upgrade a few years ago. So that's all I got for you. Who's next?
I guess I should go next. I have been kind of bouncing between games since finishing Monster Hunter Stories 3.
I like Monster Hunter Stories.
Wow. I have played some Fatal Frame 2 Remake, which is not as frightening as I was expecting, but still scary. And now waiting on a patch for it.
Getting your
seems
ass
like
beat.
It's busted at the moment. But not for performance reasons.
Busted. I wouldn't say it's busted, but it is tuned harder than it probably should.
Yeah. But that's cool, but not an RPG. I've been playing a bit of Mario plus Rabbids. What the hell is the subtitle? It's again Sparks of Hope.
Sparks of Hope.
Since Mario Day. And it's been a blast. This is a really good game that's constantly on sale for like $8.
Yep.
You all should be playing it. It means you.
That means you. Okay.
Pointing into the camera.
Oh, no, I forgot that this happened. I'm sorry. I forgot that she knocks out the power. Oh, gee.
It's fine. You'll be fine. He's gonna die.
No, I'm not gonna die.
He's a dead man. I also beat Resident Evil 9, which is quite possibly my favorite game in the series now.
It's very good.
I think prior to that, it may have been 2, so I guess it's fitting.
Here comes Spooky.
But it is extremely good, and I already started a replay as well on easy for funsies.
Yeah.
It's a very good game.
I am like neck deep into my fourth playthrough.
Damn.
I got the stuff for the final puzzle for my fifth playthrough. And deciding whether I'll finally do Insanity at that point.
How insane is the Insanity?
It seems quite hard. Personally, yeah, I've been playing some RE9, which was then followed up by playing some RE1 and some RE2, some RE2 remake. Got a lot going on.
Nice. Oh, I did play a little bit of RE4, because eventually I want to play RE4 Remake. And man, is it going to take a little bit to readjust myself to the old controls. I will, but it's going to take a bit.
They're great, though.
Yeah. Well, that game rules still.
I had to update my controllers. I had to update my everything. But yeah, so yeah, I'm just enjoying but yeah, I'm just like on a huge Resident Evil kick at this point.
Very good time for it.
Time to play the Resident Evil RPG, Resident Evil Gaiden on the Game Boy Color.
Oh no, I'm not doing that.
A lead in to a version of Resident Evil 4 that didn't happen.
Is it that bad? Tell me how bad it is.
Well, how bad is it?
It's kind of neat, but it's also kind of bad. Like, you kind of get what they were going for, but I mean, it's no Sweet Home, I'll put it that way. Hello.
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 He's here.
What you been up?
Sorry.
Oh, good. Just in time to tell us what you've been playing. If Dave is finished.
Okay. Well, I've been slowly working my way through Wiseman's World still. I just beat the fifth boss. Get a relatively decent plot twist. Which, I mean, considering this game's story has not been, like, the epitome of stellar epic writing so far. It's just been kind of serviceable, but this twist was decent, so it's enough that I won't be giving it. I mean, I'll probably still be getting a 2 for plot or for story in the review, but it's going to get a mention anyway. So, otherwise, it's just been holding up. It's, like I've said previously, it's a mid-tier DS game that's been properly scaled up to Switch standards. It looks nice. So, yeah. It's not going to take the world by storm. It is definitely not the top of its game, or top of the industry, but it's... I mean, it's... I've played much worse. I've played far worse than this. So. Yeah. Looking, I'm guessing probably a solid 3, maybe 3.5 if it holds out well.
It really sticks landing.
Yeah. Its strength is still the monster fusion system and the sheer number of monster and fusion sprites in the game.
Mm-hmm.
There are some palette swaps, but I'm guessing there's probably at least 50 different monster sprite types, at least. Mm-hmm. And each one of them has an associated fusion form for the party members.
Mm-hmm.
So it's with palette swaps as well. So there's... It looks good. I mean, it's definitely at the higher end of DS sprite work. And scaled up fairly well for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, no, I mean, sorry to be late. I had a sit-in lunch and discussion of next year's class schedules first.
All good.
I will let you know more when I actually know which days of the week and hours I am working. okay.
Yeah, we are unusually fire minerless, so we are rudderless in our discussion.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Oh,
quick! How about some Nick?
Okay, guys. So did you see any of that? Any reporting of that tech demo of AI NPC?
Yes,
AI NPC. Dialogue.
DLSS 5.0, right?
No, not that.
No,
that's a different thing, I think.
I posted it in the channel like last week. It looked like it was working off of Final Fantasy 1, but the NPC text boxes were so ridiculously verbose that it was showing box 1
LLM sure do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I'm thinking this is kind of funny because one of the earlier LLM models was specifically created. I mean, I know that there was one earlier LLM model like almost 5 years ago now that was created with the idea of procedurally generated NPC text.
Ugh.
Oh no, and one of the people who was working on it was on Blue Sky later on. We're just very upset because the executive's first reaction to it after the demonstration was, "Oh, we can just use this instead of hiring writers."
Ugh.
However, from what I can tell, this version from 5 years ago was much closer to procedurally generated in the older sense, and the stuff that I was seeing last week was definitely more of a let's just ask ChatGPT to write the stuff for us. Less of a dedicated system providing variations on NPC text and more just running its mouth off for no reason. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Either way, not good. Okay.
Or depressingly terrible, however you want to put it.
Yeah, let's talk about something that doesn't suck shit.
Did anyone else see how the director of Demon School responded when someone asked him about AI?
Oh, yes, I did see that. That was very funny.
Oh, was he one of the, AI is inevitable folks?
No.
Well, I'm going to read it for you verbatim. Hold on.
Okay.
Because this is great. Deeply entertaining.
This is Brandon Shetfield, for those interested.
Yes. See, he said, "I was asked to give my thoughts on generative AI usage in games. Here they are. I think that until the bubble bursts, AI will be used by quite a few game companies and perhaps even beyond the bubble," says Brandon Sheffield of Necrosoft Games, which released the RPG Demon School last year. "Look, I am not a fool. I understand that AI has some uses. Primarily among those being the devaluing of work, the cheapening of labor, the laying off of creatives, and the generation of busy work for humans to fix whatever AI generates. It's also useful for burning through water, raising the prices of RAM and chipsets globally, and poisoning anyone near the data centers that run them. So there are a lot of uses for AI. From spurring on the death of the creative endeavor to dissolving our economy, AI is absolutely gangbusters at what it does. We don't use it in our studio, though."
That's good. Okay, very good.
I like it.
To which what? I responded to him, "Sudden urge to buy Demon School on all platforms."
It's fun to copy.
I bought it on Steam and I played a little bit of it, and it's neat so far. Yeah. Just real Disgaea 3 and mixed with Persona kind of vibes. I think.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And I eagerly looked to see what else the studio makes in the future. Because sounds like it'll be creative and cool.
And not flop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, enough about that shit. Is there any other games coming out or anything?
I forgot to mention another game I just started. I think we might have talked about it. Ball X Pit or Ball Cross Pit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a roguelike. Yeah, it's like Breakout, but but more complicated, and you level up, and it's a roguelike. You'd have runs and.
Hmm.
Yeah, so you shoot balls at skeletons and it's fun, but then in between runs there's like a town building aspect of it. It's Devolver Digital, so it does give me some vibes from Loop Hero a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
Have you considered playing beloved PlayStation 1 first-person pinball game Screaming Mad George's Paranoia Escape?
Is that a real title?
Is that the real title?
I always ask that, and I always know it is. I have to see what this game... What is the name of it? I must see what the hell this is.
Why would I make that up?
I know you wouldn't.
Screaming Mad George's Paranoia Escape.
But I cannot picture in my mind what the hell that would look like. Okay, Screaming George's...
It is a first-person horror pinball game.
What is it? Screaming George's...
Screaming Mad George's Paranoia Escape. I will write it down for you.
No, I got it. I found it on YouTube. Let's see, what am I putting an ad for?
Unaware. Screaming Mad George is a special effects artist. Japanese American. Did a lot of special effects for old horror movies.
What the fuck?
Trouble in Little China, Predator, Nightmare on Elm Street 3 and 4.
Oh, this is weird.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
That's one of the beautiful things you can get on PS1 is you'll get just nonsense like this shit.
That's wild.
You love Paranoia Escape.
I don't know that I do. Although I have found a renewed enjoyment of horror games, so maybe. I don't know.
I usually associate the epithet Screaming Mad with the Screaming Loony Party from Britain. Or Screaming Lord. There was this really weird method actor politician in Britain who had a name like that. Weird. Okay. Anything else in the news?
It's been a pretty slow news week.
The latest on rpgamer.com. Some new episode of some stupid podcast, Q&A quest or something.
That did happen.
Fate Extra Record delayed. Don't care.
That one's hyper delayed, but because by delayed they mean
possibly never coming out.
That Bandai Namco has dropped it. And that Type Moon says that it's continuing to be developed, but it's unclear when it will come out. Type Moon has said that they will keep making a lot of things that just never seem to come out, so it might come out, it might not.
Oh yeah, this is the one that's been officially coming out for 6 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what else. Honkai Star Rail is still shit.
Not nudes.
Oh, we have a Shadowrun retro review. Nice.
Which Shadowrun? Genesis? Super Nintendo?
No, Super Nintendo.
That's a really interesting game.
3 out of 5.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I could see it going much higher. I could see it going much lower, depending upon how you interact with it.
Yeah, that's one of the ones where if it's doing things right, it's doing things really well, and when it's not doing things right, it's doing things really wrong. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I guess Zenless Zone Zero is getting a physical release. It's that doesn't make any sense. It's
awful. An awful gacha game is getting a physical release that
an online and always online free to play.
That's worse than a game key card.
Yeah,
It is.
That's a collector's. It's a dreadful beast. That's a collector's table coaster.
Just like all those copies of Anthem.
Poor Anthem.
And not even as useful as all those old AOL CDs.
No, or that PS2 EverQuest game. Not the good one.
EverQuest Online
Adventures. The MMO one.
Uh-huh. EverQuest Online Adventures. Then it's yes. Expansion EverQuest Online Adventures Frontiers.
I'm just remembering that some of my sister's college classmates once took all of the AOL demo CDs from the local Walmart, like filled up an entire shopping cart of these things. It took the Walmart employees like 10 minutes to sift through them to make sure that nothing actually valuable was hidden inside or was hidden under it all. And then they took all of these AOL CDs back to the dorm and made a set of like fitted plate armor out of it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep.
And just so you know, I'm getting some very strong wind here all of a sudden, so hopefully no disconnections. Yep.
Yes, that would go for the both of us. Let's see, what's coming out soon? Crimson Desert. Someone in my Destiny claim keeps crowing about this game. Don't care.
Yeah, I don't trust it. It doesn't seem like people seem to have a real enough idea of what it is. It's going to disappoint a lot of people.
Mega Man Star Force Collection.
Yeah, those are three. Those sure are three games.
what else?
Etrange.
Thank you. Etrange Overlord. I need to play the demo for that.
I don't know what that is.
It's a Nipponichi. It's a
Nipponichi.
I'm going to continue to not know what that is.
I mean, the Disgaea action adventure thing?
No, that's
not Mayhem.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
I will give you a report. Post packs on that one.
Good.
I mean, there's a demo. It says musical action RPG.
Yeah. I'll report on that one
The game follows Etrange von Rosenberg, sweets-loving Duke's daughter who's executed after being falsely accused of attempting to assassinate the king. She winds up in hell, where her charisma and magical skills allow her to steadily amass power. Yeah, this is a Disgaea spinoff.
Cool.
I mean, there's no guarantee that it's going to be good, but it's at least going to be interesting.
Yes.
Better that than boring, I guess.
Okay, I made it out of the basement already, and now I'm in the courtyard. And this is going very well. There's the helicopter. All right.
The heck is Dragon Quest Smash Grow? Oh, it's a mobile game. Never mind.
Never mind. Never mind.
Extreme mobile.
Yeah.
Well, this is a video game podcast, so I assumed we weren't going to be talking about the Emmys, and I didn't watch them anyways.
It wasn't the Emmys. It was the Oscars.
Oscars, sorry. I can't even tell the difference. Just there it is.
One's TV and movies, and one's only movies.
Okay.
Wait, is the Emmys movies, or is it just TV?
God. I think it's just TV.
It's just TV, man.
I don't know. I've never watched the Emmys. I don't really watch TV.
Here, how would you like this award? It's a Grammy. Hey, don't throw your garbage down here.
Listen, all that matters is... Okay, the two things that matters. Michael B. Jordan won an Oscar. Dude's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Served. And also a song from K-pop Demon Hunters won Best Original Song.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising.
No. But cool. And then they promptly cut off the group of writers and the singer in the middle of their speech. Oscars! Oh my god, someone out there ask us a question. We're dying.
Why do fools fall in love?
Why do birds suddenly appear?
I wonder, every time wonder, you do. Wonder who wrote the book of love.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to go to the podcast channel and steal questions for the other podcasts.
Go for it.
Okay. Do it.
Okay, let's see here. No podcast, or did I miss it? You were there on the wrong night. Q&A Quest is Monday nights, not Saturday. Let's see.
Monday night in America.
RPG Cast Feedback. We're called Q&A Quest, but that's okay. Hey, all, happy late New Year. And sorry for not posting feedback for all. This is from Livy. Life has been pretty nuts on my end. The good news is that I've been rediscovering FF12. Hey, we love FF12 here. That game rules. Don't listen to anyone else on this show.
I'll fight you to the death.
I've always wanted to replay 12, and
just for that, I'm gonna like dog on that game hard.
Having access to it on the portable console has been really convenient and has made it easy to sneak in game time here and there. So my question is, has there been a title that you ended up preferring to play on portable? I think 12 is that
everything.
For me. Yes. The answer for me is everything, even if it runs like ass compared to something else.
That's our boy.
We're handheld gamers to the bone.
Even if it runs like ass.
With some exceptions, like The Witcher 3 on Switch is a miracle. Once I got the Steam Deck, it was kind of hard to go back to it. Mainly because
you put it in handheld boost mode. See what happens.
I'm hoping for a Switch 2 version of that game at some point, considering how good Cyberpunk was. So,
CD Projekt would do.
But you know who would love this question right here is our dearly departed editor in chief, Max Storm, who was a huge fan of portables.
That's why I said Team Handheld.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yes. To the point that we would always call, like we'd call the portable edition, like the Mac edition, stuff like that.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So, very good question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what else we got. RPG Cast seems to be the only podcast that doesn't show up in my new episodes playlist, even though I saved my podcast in my library. Anybody know why? I'm using YouTube Music. Well, that's you just have to correct the name of the podcast. It's Q&A Quest. Thank you. By the way, this is all in good fun. You should definitely watch/listen to RPG Cast as well. I don't want to make
watching that feels like a weird choice, but yes, do listen to
they
it.
Stream it live too.
I suppose that's true.
But yes, I don't want to make it sound like I'm talking on RPG Cast. We're just dying for material this week because there's no news and no one's here to ask us questions.
Wheels, why are you?
I don't know. My brain is fried. I'm tired of hearing about AI. I just want to look at fun, artistic things. I'm gonna go see a play or something.
Yay!
Yes, that's what we should all be doing in this day and age. Go out and enjoy some art. Play some cool video games made by people that don't use AI. Do more of that and less complaining and doom scrolling. that's my advice to everyone, that I should also take up myself.
Yeah, actually, I found an old text or picture, whatever, where I was feeling really down one day and I was doing a lot of doom scrolling. So I texted Wheels to say, man, you know, I'm doom scrolling. He's like, go play something fun. And I'm like, well, yeah, I want to play something fun, but I feel like I deserve to play Altered Beast. And he said, no one deserves that.
Why would you, like, I don't understand why you would hate yourself in such a fashion.
I don't know, I'm just having a bad day.
That's a pretty bad day, saying, my friend.
It's a really mean so thing sorry. To say about yourself.
But then I followed his advice, and I think I did end up playing a good game, and I think that did help my mood, yes.
I mean, I have gifted you guys some shit. I would never send you a copy of fucking Altered Beast. Although, I don't know how bad that Prince of Persia game was.
I remember the game from the Game Center, and it was a fun idea. It just wasn't that fun to play.
No. Dave, was that Prince of Persia game worse than Altered Beast?
Which one?
The Prince of Persia game I gifted you.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Oh, possibly yes. Okay.
Okay, this sounds like a yes. I'm so sorry.
Buddy, that game soft locked when I walked when I walked too much to the left or right during one of the bosses.
Oh god. Oh my god. I feel like I deserve to play some shit.
You could also like make reparations by just sending me a good game instead.
That's true. Do you own Demon School?
I don't.
Okay, you're getting Demon School.
You're getting Demon School. Wow, you're hey.
Fucking Demon Yay! School.
Yay! It worked.
And schooled.
Platform?
I mean, I usually just play it on Switch, but whatever, man.
Alright.
Okay. Okay, so the helicopter has crashed, and I'm switching back to Leon.
Congrats.
Sounds so like the you're only about to get a rifle.
Well, here's the thing. It's my understanding that on future playthroughs, if you do not buy the rifle, then it will not spawn in. Like,
no, it doesn't. Any gun that you... Yeah.
Okay.
Any gun you found will not spawn in.
Has to be purchased. That's why I bought it first, because I'm like, all right, because I'd read up on it a little bit. All right. Oh, but see, then there is a box at the part where you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a tracking module worth 5,000 points right next to it, which will get you the worse rifle. Okay, so you know what? It's fine then. Everything's fine. Good. So on this playthrough, I'm using Silencer 9, W870 Police, Steery Revo, Classic 70, and Hatchet, regular Hatchet. By the time you get the other hatchet, it's like you're not going to end up using it because you probably already upgraded yours, you know? So let's say more damage, more power. Ho, ho, ho.
Yay.
Sending us back to the 90s, man. That's not cool.
The 90s were awesome.
I mean, relatively speaking, yeah. I think I'd prefer to be in the 90s right now.
Yep.
We still fight. Fighting in the 90s.
All right, let me see here. Okay, so my current playtime is 2 hours, 39 minutes. I don't think I'm going to get under 4 hours on this playthrough, but that's okay. Just an excuse to play through again.
Hold on, we got a question in chat here.
Oh, we do.
Top viewers, stream boog.
God fucking damn you, you piece of goddamn shit.
Ugh. Where is it? Is it a holiday?
Fucking ground.
Is it a holiday in Europe?
Tomorrow's St. Paddy's Day.
I don't think that's enough to get everyone to leave.
Well, if anyone cares, I went to my mom's for dinner on Sunday, and she made corned beef and cabbage and Irish soda bread. And I got myself a bottle of Bailey's, so I kind of already celebrated the holiday, but tomorrow I might just end up watching Boondock Saints or something like that. Listen to some Flogging Molly. That could be fun.
Poke Mahone.
I'm Irish, man. You should watch the movies about the Irish Revolution.
I'm glad someone got that joke.
Yeah.
There was a movie with Liam Neeson about some kind of Irish revolutionary.
Yeah, that's a very good one.
Yeah,
I know exactly which one you're talking about.
I'm just been seeing conversations on social media, like somebody on Reddit's "Am I the Asshole?" Asking. So basically, what happened was this person who is an Irish citizen was trying to advise a tourist. A friend of his who was going to go vacation in Ireland over the St. Patrick's Day weekend to not pack this really bright orange dress that she was planning on wearing. And to explain why this was probably not a good idea. And she was very upset with him. For some reason, we're not quite sure why. The idea of just anyone wearing bright orange in the middle of a St. Patrick's Day celebration in Ulster is...
Don't worry about other things those colors might mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right up there with going to a bar in Dublin and ordering an Irish car bomb.
Lord.
Which apparently quite a few people have done by accident.
Don't know how you do that at the stage.
Yeah.
I won't ask. I don't have to. The law.
I did not even know there was a drink called an Irish car bomb.
There is.
Much less why anyone would think it was a good idea to go to a bar in Ireland and ask for one.
I feel like you would know. Yeah, like you should have the faculties. If you are old enough to order such a drink, you should have the faculties to understand why you would not call something that in Ireland.
Right.
Yeah, but we're talking about American tourists here.
God bless tourists.
Are we even allowed to be tourists in other countries right now?
Yes.
Not peacefully.
Okay. I mean... They haven't started canceling visas for anybody yet, or blocking visas.
I should fall from grace with God.
Oh, and I'm sorry. I did not like one battle after another. I just didn't care for it.
I've not seen it.
I haven't seen it. Don't care.
What's it about?
Yeah, I see.
It's about Leonardo DiCaprio playing a moron revolutionary guy, and they rob banks, but they also let people out of detention camps, you know. So what's good about it is it shines a light on issues like, you know, immigration policy, but it's also a 3-hour movie with a protagonist I couldn't stand. And a villain I couldn't stand, although you're not supposed to like him. So Sean Penn did a good job in the sense that I hated the character he played.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't show up to collect his award.
And he rubbed a absolutely classic actor. So fuck him.
Okay.
I'm going to blame the Academy on that one, to be fair.
Yeah. That's true. I need to see Sinners. Looks cool.
Yeah, I got a cheap like Blu-ray copy for like $8 a couple months ago. So.
Nice.
Just waiting for the right time to watch it. But yeah, I don't know I feel like there is quite limited things for us to discuss at the moment, and I don't feel like fucking making this dog hunt if there's nothing to hunt, so I feel like we should maybe just kill it instead of doing whatever the fuck we're doing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, we got stuff coming up. I'm going to be at PAX next week, so I'll be able to talk about the following week. I'll be able to talk about PAX. So there's these new games and stuff coming out. This is just, we have these weeks when you do a show every week.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's wrap it up.
Okay. Time for plugs.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if life seems slow and there's nothing to really talk about, give yourself something to talk about. Pick up a good book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Princesses of the Pizza Parlor, currently moving into its end game in the writing stages. Yay. Yeah, I hope to have the actual end of the main plot finished by the end of this month. And possibly even typed by then. Yay. So, as it is, quick calculation tells me that if it is not currently longer than War and Peace, then it's pretty darn close. So, target achieved, goal achieved there. So yeah, so Princesses of the Pizza Parlor on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited under the name Michael Yarimizu, Yarimizu, for, honestly, because my wife's family's just been very nice about that. If you enjoy tabletop games, if you enjoy watching other people play tabletop games, if you wouldn't mind experiencing this in narrative format, either ebook or Dead Tree edition, then we have Princesses of the Pizza Parlor. Soon to be 15 episodes, 5 side stories, and a novel-length paralogue for a grand total of 21 ebooks or 6 paperback volumes. Your choice. All good, all fun. Okay. And, okay, and let's see. I need to practice the voice here. And wait, there's more. There we go. If we are skipping genres here, we have under Lit RPG and... would like to say it's more than just an attempt at Lit RPG, but it's not selling that well, so attempt it is. Please, please check this one out. Vainglorious Long is the Night, Metroidvania-styled Lit RPG, lots of B-movie aesthetics, a wonderful custom content warning sticker on the corner of the cover. Again, if you're interested in video game style stories or games where the protagonist or sorry, stories where the protagonist is completely subject to ludonarrative dissonance and not really enjoying it that much, again, Vainglorious Long is the Night. Again, Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. I still have more. I keep writing more of these, and there's more to come. So currently in pre-order under the name Michael Spearwater, we have The Sin of Tantalus, which is what you get when someone like me who really does not like contagion horror or zombies still decides to write a story based around most of these tropes. For lack of a better explanation, I have described it as zombie-adjacent social distancing dystopia, even though there are no Walking Dead. It's still got some of the same vibes going on. So again, that's The Sin of Tantalus. It's on pre-order, coming out next month, officially. Also under Michael Spearwater, we have A Wager for Wunderlust, which was the one I originally published under a different name because I really do not wish to have any overlap of audience between this one and the Young Adult Fantasy series. Check it out and you will see what I mean. That I was just experimenting with some stuff on this. It's mainly there to be there. If anyone enjoys it, please let me know. I would love to hear that. So anyway, thank you. Oh, wait. Oh, too much stuff. And Tanuki is a Teapot, Japanese Folktales. see some very common, some kind of rare, a couple. I'm pretty sure this is my version is the only extant English translation. All lovingly illustrated by yours truly. I need to get onto that for the next volume. Okay, so yes. Anyway, I've been keeping very busy with writing, if you haven't
been able to tell. You've been going a mile a minute.
That's good, yeah.
Yes. Oh, no, I mean, part of it is just simply after certain events of the last year and a half, which I will get into at some point. I don't feel like spilling the beans too much at this point. But I've pretty much given up on getting any of these items queried and published under normal means.
Yeah, so I'm so just like all this stuff that you'd had in the can in the hopes of getting it published, it's now just like, well, might as well.
Yep, so currently the main bottleneck is getting covers for some of these things, which is why I currently have three different covers under commission. So hopefully there will be more and more and more to come this year. So I'll keep you guys informed. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Joe, what do you know?
All right. So nothing different at this point. I'm still streaming for RP Gamer on Tuesday and Thursday nights starting around 9 or 10 p.m. Currently doing East 10 Proud Nordics. But I did do a Super Mario RPG remaster stream on Mario Day, which was Tuesday, March 10th, and defeated those Axum Rangers. I call them the Dollar Store Power Rangers. And I thought the fight was really easy. And what happened was, as soon as the fight started, I did one of those like super attacks you can do now because I had 100% gauge when I went into the fight. And I guess I instantly took out pink and green. It's like, okay, so it was a pretty easy fight. So that was fun. And then, you know, so I may occasionally throw in something different, but for the most part, that's what it's going to be. I was on the Game of the Year RPG cast podcast that you can listen to already on RP Gamer, where we just did a bunch of joke awards. It was fun. So I was on there. And then, of course, you can hear me on Q&A Quest, as you are right now. Monday nights, we try to start around 11 p.m. now. So we come on right after Hero Harmony does his Monday night stream, and so it's pretty cool. And I have my own Twitch and YouTube channels under Smoke and Joe Gamer. I don't have any new streams or videos for you to watch. I haven't felt compelled to really do a lot of content in a while, but they're still there, and you can check those out. For instance, my speed run of Night Manor from the UFO 50 collection, in which I don't get hit and I get the best ending. That seems to have gotten a bunch of views. People seem to like that one, so you could check that out. And you can follow me on Blue Sky and Instagram under Smoke and Joe Gamer as well. And of course, you can join the RP Gamer Discord server if you want to chat with other gamers and also people who are into anime and all sorts of different things. So it's a nice community that you can join. Just don't be a jerk.
Simple enough. Excellent to each other.
Be excellent.
And party on, dudes.
But you can ask questions in the podcast section. If you do choose to join, you can join by going to rpgamer.com and clicking the community tab. You can also ask us questions by commenting under this very episode or one of the recent ones. Nothing recently, but always worth checking. But otherwise, I think that wraps it up for us, and I've got an intense headache. So, See you, Space Cowboys.
Yeah.
This is Mole Man in the morning. Good Mole Man to you.
You know what? He just left.
Unthank you.
I can feel it, 'cause I know you fuck you.